and my extended family. Amen. These guys group that's left here, stand up. I want you guys to see these men again. I just want to put them on. Amen. This is all I got left with me right now. Some of them are off tonight. And these men have really, really, really done a great job this summer of just showing what it is to be a young man of God and in a Bible college and living for God and being out and just doing what they ought to do. Amen. So I'm proud of them. I really am. They have done a great job. We were able to be on the Eastern Shore where I grew up for two different churches that are one of my home church that I grew up, was saved in, baptized in, amen, married in, and got called to preach in, amen. And there's something about the local church, isn't it? And got to be there and got to preach a little while and see my preacher that I grew up under and just see him again. And he's the same age as our preacher. He's older than him right now because he's a month older. So he had a birthday just before we got there. So he's a year older than Pastor Carter for a whole month. And so it was good to see him. And he, Brother Purdue was just down with us. And so we just got a little bit of time to be up there. Really, we spent most of it at the Sword, amen. And that was good. If you didn't get to see any of that, they put it up online. You probably can go to Gospel Light's website and see the Sword. And it was good to be there. Brother Bob was there with the table, and some of our staff men were with us, and different ones, and got some pictures of our preacher. It's amazing to me how many, I know we just sometimes we take for granted just the effect that our preacher has on the nation and really the world, and at our church, the effect that our church has on them. We had at least five people come up and realize that our radio station went down Sunday because they couldn't hear Pastor Carter's message online. Did five different people, because we're 7 o'clock and they're at six, they listened to our preacher on Sunday night, and that's a blessing. And I got a few pictures on my phone of our preacher getting pictures with young people that use our curriculum, and they were coming by the booth and saying, "Hey, where's the preacher? I know he's here. We want to get a picture with him. We want to stop by and see him." And he come back by, and they came back by to get a picture with him. And he really, he's one of my heroes. He is my hero. Amen. I hope that he's that way in your life. I think sometimes we make much of men, but listen, he's been faithful a long time. All right, you're not going to trip up making much of that one. All right, that man. All right, he's been doing it a long time, and I hope you're praying that the Lord will continue to help him and let him be faithful and to continue. And we're glad that he got to get up there, and he's getting to do something that he wanted to do. I don't know if y'all know that, but he got to drive that big old Buick all the way to West Virginia. All right, so yeah, man, he called me. I missed his call, and I got the message, and I could see the smile. It wasn't FaceTiming, but I could see a smile through the phone that he was rejoicing driving that car all the way to West Virginia. Amen. And so, praise the Lord that he made it there. He did call me and say, "If you see a big white Buick on the side of the road, please stop and help me." Amen. And so we looked for it all the way when we came back down 95. Matthew chapter number 7, if you would, tonight. And listen, I just want to be able to be a help tonight. I do just getting back and having all this great preaching that we've had and just being able to hear all the people at the Sword. And just I encourage you, if you ever get a chance to go there to they're Walkertown, North Carolina, and an opportunity to go to the meeting there. It's a good meeting. If you have a booth, it's not as relaxing as it could be if you were there and then be able to go back to the room. But it is a blessing to be able to get the preachers, those national preachers, these men of God that have stood for so long, and even Brother Smith. And there's not all the decades. I didn't live through all those decades, but looking back at some of the men, Brother Shelton Smith is taking a harder stand. And I will say this. I mean, I love the men. I'm not trying to echo anything about Brother Rice or Brother Curtis Hudson. I'm just saying he is taking a harder stand on the Bible and things that we are as a ministry, as we do. He's closer to us than any of those other men have been. And I thank God for that he's taking a hard stand in a day that it needs to be defined, in the day and age that, where we are. And so it's good. If you don't get the Sword, get the Sword. It's easy to get. You can, if you're one of those digitizers, and you can get it on your computer or on a tablet. They can send it to you that way, or you can do it like I do, the old-fashioned paper. It opens up, and they'll send it right to your house, and it gives you good things. Amen. It's a good thing for to get. So thank God for that. I thank God for our preacher. Amen. And again, I thank God for this church. And I went home and I grew up there. And these guys will tell you, it's a beautiful place. Amen. The Eastern Shore of Maryland is just it's just flat ground. These other guys from Baltimore, he's one of these college students. Amen. I'll deal with him later. I better not say nothing now. So, amen. But amen. So it's not perfect. There's nowhere perfect. Amen. But we felt like it was God's country. But there was just something, you know, when I come down on four and pass those Mickey Mouse ears, I felt like I was home. Amen. Can I get amen when you come to South? You've been gone a long time, and I look forward to some things and look forward to being with the church tonight. If you're at Matthew chapter 7, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll be right in the beginning. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help me tonight. I pray that you'll pray for me. And also, if you would, just think about Marissa and pray about that MRI they're going to have tomorrow. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for this book. This is the word that you gave us, that we might be able to, as a group of people, a body of believers, a church, we might meet together, dear God, and open your word and be helped from the words. Dear God, I thank you for the man of God that you've given this place. I pray that you'd watch over and keep him safe, bring him back to us safely, dear God. I thank you for his stand for all these years and his service to this place, this ministry, and even to this preacher. God, I beg you to help him to be back. Keep him strong, dear God. Help him and be with his wife, dear God. Help him to have a good time while they're there with their family. But tonight, God, we need to hear from you, from your word. I beg you, God, that you use me just as your messenger, boy. Help me not to say the things I ought not say, but help me to say the things that I ought to say, that I might hold back in my flesh. But God, help the Spirit of God to control me and use me. Give me unction to function. I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, and the very first verse is, I don't want to read that without kind of laying some foundation. Can I say that tonight? We're beginning as a church. This is our church, amen. And if you're a visitor here tonight, you kind of wandered into a place, and you'll find out where you wandered into in just a few minutes, amen. But let me just say this tonight, you know, just us, as we head into school, and we're not too far. Dr. Pitt said tonight was August 11th is going to be our back to school Sunday on our buses and everything. And so we're going to capitalize, he said, on their misfortune and having to go back to school. And the teachers are going to say amen to all those things. But, you know, sometimes when we go to school, I think about something Brother Burt has said in the past often, you know, and he says to the parents, listen, if you don't believe everything they come home and tell you about the teacher, then we won't believe everything that they come home and tell, or they come to school and tell us about you. And he's often said that, and that's one of the truths. But I do think that one of the things that'll help us as a church group, a body of believers, as we look at this, sometimes we get out of balance with our judging each other. Amen? And now I believe this. Before I go too far, I believe if I don't make it there tonight, for time's sake, I'll say this. We're not necessarily to judge the other brother that's in the church, but we are fruit inspectors. All right. So as a group of believers, I can say to my children, just like you can say to your children, I don't want you to go over there because I don't see the fruits that I ought to see in the life of the believer. Now, if you're looking at a brother and all you're focused on is the sin that you see in their life, we're sinners saved by grace. I'm just going to tell you that. And if we get nitpicking with each other and we get nitpicking about each other's sin, the Bible is going to tell us very clearly that we need to take care of our own selves.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Take care of the problems that we got in our lives instead of nitpicking somebody else to pieces. But we are supposed to be fruit inspectors. You know, a Christian, it doesn't matter whether you get paid by the church or you don't get paid by the church, you ought to be a full-time Christian. There ought to be some things happening in your life through the local church. The local church comes together not so we can just meet and give our money, but because we want to fulfill the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a mission that we have, not just missions, but a co-mission as a church. We get together as co-laborers with Christ, and we go after some people. We do it through the bus ministry. We do it through soul winning. We do it through Sunday school. We do it through junior church. We do it through all different avenues, and the main one is preaching from this pulpit by our preacher. Amen? So we get all these things, but as we look at this, the Bible is going to lay out, and it's Jesus, it's red letters. If you got a red letter Bible, you're going to see tonight that there's a golden rule. You ever remember hearing that? Now, he's going to deal with judging, but I think days flown by, and I believe that there's some Christians that they got too big for their britches, and they passed off on this golden rule, and they think that that doesn't apply to them anymore. Now, when I was a boy, they didn't always say it like the Bible says it, but they would say that we need to do unto others as we'd want them to do to us. Now, listen, if we just simply lived that way, we'd be a lot better off, wouldn't we? Hey, parent, when you deal with the teacher in the classroom, instead of always believing your kid, maybe you ought to think about that to begin with. I mean, we're getting ready to go into school. I've seen a lot of teachers that don't think that they're ever wrong, that they're infallible. I've seen a lot of parents that think their children are infallible. Hey, can I tell you, teacher, you're not infallible. Hey, I know this preacher's not infallible. Hey, parent, I know your children are not infallible. I had a pack of them at my house, and I'm here to tell you, I told you the other night that I got to break their legs to keep them from being wicked, to keep them close, to keep them close to home. I don't want them running off, amen? I want them to stick close. I want them to do right. I want them to live right. Can I tell you tonight, the Bible's going to lay some things out. Look at verse number 1. Judge not. Whoa. That you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. So it's laying out some things here. And Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. It's not my intention to preach this way. But I can just say this. As we begin the school year, many times we hold the church, the preacher, the teachers, the leadership in our church. You and I have a tendency to hold them to a standard that we don't measure up to ourselves. Hey, amen? And for the whole place to get better, every one of us need to take a look in the mirror and work on me and work on you. And the whole place will get better, because you going to everybody else and trying to point out what's wrong with somebody else ain't helping nobody, not even you. And not the work of God, none of that's going to help. And all it does is the outside world says that that place ain't no different than the place I'm at. Why should I go down there? Why? How am I going to get help at a place that ain't no different than me? Now you say the preacher gets up and preaches about everybody's fault. That's his job. Three quarters of his ministry is to reprove, rebuke, to exhort. Listen, I'm here to tell you, his job is to tell you what's wrong from the book. And if you get hit, as a preacher would say, all right, when he throws a rock into a crowd, the dog, he uses dog, I'm trying to keep out of that, but if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that squeals is the one that got hit. Amen and amen. I'm just trying to tell you tonight, listen, we need to, when we come to this thing of judging, we are so, so good about knowing how to measure everything up. And I think it's a good thing, because you know this is how the chapter begins before we get to what my parents said was the golden rule for my life. The way a person ought to live. You know, America used to live by the golden rule, and we were a lot better off. You know, businessmen used to live by the golden rule, and we were a lot better off. Can I tell you, he moves on and he says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but canst not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time there, but again, when he goes through that thing, he's talking about something in your brother's eye is a lot smaller than the one that's in your eye. But you can't see it because you're so focused on somebody else, the outward things of someone else, rather than the things that you need to deal with yourself. When was the last time that you sat down with the book in the morning and prayed to God and said, God, reveal what I need in the book instead of what I can tell somebody else about? Or when you read the Bible, that's them right there. Boy, I wish I could preach that to them. I wish so-and-so was here. I'm going to put this on Facebook so everybody else can see this verse because they need it. Hey, man, that time that we spend with God in the morning ought to be time that God breaks us, that God reveals to us the things that are still lacking in our own lives. When we look in the mirror of the Word of God and we can see the meat of the Word of God and see that we don't meet the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ yet, so we need to keep working. The Bible says that I'm His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Can I just say tonight, church, He's still working on me. I don't ever want him to put the hammer and the nails down because I think I've arrived. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we get to the place and we get so hardened that we have to, that like that vessel out of Jeremiah, we have to be broken. We're marred in the hand of the potter because we're not pliable anymore. We are not to the place where we're letting God work on us because we're so focused on the pot over there. How come that pot's getting this? Or how come that pot's going to get, you know, how come I'm being made as a coffee cup and that's a vase for flowers? Can I just say God made us all different, did he not? Every one of us have different gifts and abilities to use for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But we got to pull it out of our own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? How are you going to be the leader that you ought to be, teacher in the classroom, when that you're going to try to preach something to a teenager or to somebody and they know the sin that's in your life? Amen? You're going to tell them to walk the walk and talk the talk? You're going to tell them to do what God's man said from the pulpit and you say, well, you don't do this that God's man says? That's good preaching, Brother Parsons. Amen! It's not easy. We don't like to live that way. We don't like for us to, because you know what we get to is we like to think of other people as the word that's going to come up here in the verse. The next verse is, thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Listen, I know that teacher, you're going to have to go to work. Like Sunday school teacher, junior church teacher, amen. Whatever leader that you are amidst all these other young people, don't take this as ammunition. Hey, you got problems yourself. You got to work on. But hey, let it never be said that I'm going to go. Listen, I want to try to work on me. I don't want to live in a way that I'm going to. Listen, as the young person says, why am I going to give room? Can you imagine if the dad, I preached on the prodigal son before I got out of here. Can you imagine the prodigal son showing up at home and his dad has already lowered his standard and maybe got an earring hanging out of his ear and he's already half gone to the world, but at least he went home before the prodigal did, and the prodigal shows up and sees his dad and his dad ain't still walking the line? And his dad still ain't the man that he ought to be? Hey, can I tell you today, we let down the standard and then we wonder why our kids go to the world. Brother Howells used to say this all the time, and if you don't like him, that's all right. But listen to what he said. He would always talk about the standard. You know these standards? Listen, I'm just going to tell you. I think, no matter who you are, you got standards. All right? You got standards, and you say, well, I'm not for that. There's standards preached from this pulpit. Their standards preached in this Bible, where the line is drawn. And when we get to the place where we don't like that and we don't want to meet that, we get to a place where we'll hold a different standard or what we think the standard is. Can I just tell you that this is not a place of confusion? God's book is not a book of confusion. It's not a book. Listen, the standard is clear. The standard is a line that's drawn. Morality is drawn out in the Word of God. Work ethic is drawn out in the Word of God. Can I just tell you, we live in a church and in a place that believes in all those things, and we need to get to a place before we go pointing fingers because we don't like one little thing. We ought to take a good look at our own self. You say, Brother Parsons, what happened this week? Nothing. Boy, but I know if we're going to have a school year that we ought to have, if we're going to be close to God and walk with Him, we need to take a look inside, not outside at everything else, not trying to look at what somebody else is doing wrong or what somebody else's kids are going to be in your classroom. Hey, take a look at your own kids and size them up because they're not right with God. Take a look at your own life. You're not right with God. Hey, can I say it tonight? Listen, we ought to walk the walk and talk the talk and listen, beg God for show us the next step. We get so consumed with looking for things wrong with other people. Listen, there's nothing wrong with inspecting fruit. There's nothing wrong with coming out and being separate when you're not sure where someone else stands. I don't think you should send your kids over to somebody's house and let them spend the night if you're worried about what they're going to get taught, what they might watch, or what they might be told. You are going to answer to God, just like the man of God's going to answer for the things that he allows in his pulpit and all these other things down the line of leadership in your home. Hey, but can I tell you tonight, don't get so nitpicky with every little thing that you start saying things about others and you expect them to hold. Listen, that's not going to work, Mom and Dad. That's not going to work, my mom and papa. That's not going to work, teacher in the classroom. Listen, because those, listen, they're not, my children are smart enough not to walk up to you as a teacher and go, you're a hypocrite. They got better sense than that. All right? They're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But they know better than to walk up to you and go, oh, yeah, what about this? I know you do this. Hey, I know you do this. Hey, I know that you do this. Amen? The sad part is, they got some of them things loaded in their gun. And they won't fire it out of their mouth, but they fire it off in their heart every time you try to tell them to do something. Listen, we have an epidemic in our country, and I've preached on it before, and I'll preach on it again, of young people that leave good churches and head out. I was encouraged this week about some young people that were under me. Amen. They got out. They've left their church, their home, church home, but they got into a church, and you know, it's not like Landmark. There's not a lot of places like us, but there's some out there. Hey, you know, somebody got in the pulpit, never preached that before. They never heard the preacher say anything about that. And then the preacher got up and preached predestination and Calvinism from the pulpit. And they came to me and said, listen, Brother Parsons, can you help us find a good place? Can you talk to me? Can you tell me about it? Because listen, I know I don't believe that. Hey, can I just help you, friend? There's some times that they wander and they go out just like the prodigal son. But listen, I want to make sure they know what's right. I want to make sure in Bible class I'm shooting straight and they know what the Word of God says. Even if they won't live it out in their lives and make a choice to do right or head in the right direction, boy, we ought to lay the line down. But listen, you know, some of them can't hear it because all they're firing off is, you don't live that way. You don't do that. You don't believe that way. Hey, the church is supposed to be of one accord, of one mind, heading in one direction for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you, you know how you get that way? Well, listen to the preacher. Let the messages sink in. And when he preaches against something that you're doing, you say, that's got to go. Hey, this altar, this is a place to alter yourself. When was the last time you spent any time there? Whoa, Brother Parsons, I can't get down. Well, turn around and sit down like some of the other people that are here. You afraid somebody's going to see you down there? This is a place God deals business with his people. Oh, he can deal with us in the pew. Yeah, but not like he can at the altar. You know, I don't remember the Old Testament sacrifice getting sacrificed on the pew. Amen, Brother Parsons. I don't remember the Old Testament sacrifice getting drug all up and down the pew. I remember it going to the altar. I remember that was the place that God, when it was broken and its blood was spilled and all the things were done, that's when God got pleasure out of it. Not at the door. Not halfway in, but at the altar. Can I tell you, listen, all the great decisions, when I got married, boy, this ain't even where I was going to go, but I like it. Amen. Hey, man, when I got married, I came down the aisle and came up to the altar, and I was altered. I came in as one, and she was one, and we left out as one flesh. There were two, became one. Something happened at the altar. I remember when I got baptized, I came to the altar. I said, listen, I need to be baptized, and they took me to the back. I mean, at the altar, I made the decision I need to be baptized, and I got baptized, and listen, I didn't get saved. I was already saved, but something happened. I remember that I put on the Christian uniform. I remember something changed in me that night. That desire that I had in me, I just checked off the box of obedience to God. I said, I like this. This is a good step for me. Hey, you know what? I think I'll try it again, and I'll check another obedience to God, and I'll check another one. You know that it's really good. You know, I notice in my children, they want me to lay it out clear what I want from them because they like it when they're obedient to me, and I reward them. You know, God's got a process in his book about just this obedience, reward, obedience, taking care, taking pleasure with you. Taking care when you know, all the way through the book, there's all kinds of blessings when you're obedient, you surrender in this new area, God blesses your life. It's a sad thing that we get. Listen, we get as believers, there's some things we get about halfway. Halfway, one leg in, you know, the most dangerous place on the road is that middle line, straddling the middle line. Or straddling the fence. Amen, cowboy. Hey, can I just tell you? The worst place is to be in the middle, half in and half out. I believe half of what the church preaches, and this other half I'll keep to myself and do what I want to do. That'll destroy your family. That'll destroy a school. That'll destroy a church because it's made up of people, a body of believers. God help us. He comes all the way down here. I love this. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out thy own beam. So listen, the process is this. You see something wrong with somebody else, go look in the mirror and check up on yourself because you probably got a problem. And listen, nothing wrong with going and helping your brother. Say, hey, man, I saw something in your eye. I realized I had something too, and I went and got it right. Let me tell you how God helped me. Let me testify what God did for me when I went to the altar and got it out. Hey, man, come down with me. I'll pray with you. Let's get it right together. Let's go soul winning on Thursday night together. Hey, man, let's go on bus visitation together. I love you, man. God's working in the church. Amen. When was the last time you asked somebody to go soul winning with you? When was the last time you asked anybody to go do anything for the church with you? Just because you wanted to encourage them. Amen? We've gotten so we think that the way to fix people or to help encourage people is to get them a gift card. Amen? Listen, a steak, that encourages me. Amen. But it only lasts a little while. But you know what will encourage a brother that's down in the dumps? Doing something for God. Having somebody say, hey, let's go soul winning together. You see somebody saved, boy, it'll change your world. And you ain't got to take them over and over again. That one gift card only lasted the one time they went, and then it went downhill again. But boy, when you go soul winning with them, they'll come when you don't come. Even when you can't go with them, they'll start asking somebody else to go with them. Hey, God's plan is not difficult. He goes through this thing, and he says, give not that which, look at it, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. This is the one I'm going to preach a little while, not real long, but you may not like this, all right? And I'm going to jump to the end and get to the golden rule because all of you, you know, I started with the golden rule. We're going there, all right? We're going to get there, I promise, all right? This one right here is the one that bothers me most. You will leave this place, a place where God has saved you, God's worked in your heart, changed your world, and you'll leave here, and you take all the wonderful riches that you have in Christ Jesus, and you'll spill them out in front of lost people about all the problems that are going down at the church house. You go out to somebody else and tell them all about all the problems that are down there. Listen, you could go, you have so much good to lay that, listen, to go down there and say, hey, God saved me. He baptized me in his house. Listen, God, I got married in the church. You could tell them all. Listen, last Sunday the preacher preached and God worked in my heart. Woo, we had a Sunday. But you'd rather go down there. Now that principal down at that Christian school. Hey. That assistant pastor, Brother Parsons, I'm here to tell you, that one time he preached a year ago, he said, listen 42 times. That's right. Hey, I'm just telling you. You know what I'm getting at. Come on. Listen. Hey, I'm just going to tell you tonight, listen, there's some things in your life and in my life, if we're not careful, we'll take the wonderful things of God that God's given us and blessed us with, and we'll just go spread them out in front of the world and say, look at this, look at all the problems. It's a mess down there. You know, I heard somebody say not too long ago that's in this church. Okay, now I didn't hear him say this, okay, to me. Amen. They said it to somebody else, and I overheard them. They didn't know I was there. I don't think I'm going to send my kids down to that Bible college. They're too inbred down there. And let me, some of you, all right, you're as sharp as my kids, so let me explain it, what that means, all right? That means that we hire people that graduated from our college. Okay? And so that's why they wouldn't send their kids down to that college, because they're too inbred. You know, they hire people that they actually train down there. Amen. Well, I hope they're worth hiring. I can tell you this, it ain't because everybody else ain't trying to get them. I get preachers mad at me, because one of their kids that came here and went to Bible college, and I sit there and try to say, I don't beg them to stay here. I say, hey, you know, maybe when you graduate, you ought to pray about maybe teaching at our Christian school. Maybe you ought to come back, call somebody. Hey, maybe you ought, listen, I believe God's will. God put it on my heart that you ought to come work at the college. I just, you know, do what God, I feel like, put on my heart. Maybe my preacher says, you need to get somebody. Let's call so-and-so. I seem to remember Brother Howell saying they weren't going to hire nobody else that they didn't train themselves, because they couldn't trust anybody else. Hey, man. I don't know. I mean, I think we got the best graduates in the world. Amen. I mean, I'm just saying, I believe that we got a pretty good place, good thing going on down there. Amen. Hey, I just, you know, it ain't West Virginia. It's right down here. It's down the street. Amen. See, Brother Parsons, that's awful hard. I'm just saying, you ought to do unto others the way you'd like for them to do unto you. You know, I don't know anybody that ever looked up a college and tried to see where they were all trained at. Hey, even the person that said that, I guarantee you the place they'd send their kid, they never checked on where the professors came from there. And if they did, it would scare them to death. It would scare them to death. Bunch of Unitarians, Presbyterians, Methodists. Say, what's wrong with that? Nothing. They ain't Baptist. Say, Brother Parsons. Brother Parsons, them people go to heaven too. Yeah, they do. Amen. I got some in my lineage of my family, and I thank God. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see Papa, that was a Methodist. And he's going to say, son, I should have gone first class. I should have gone first class. I should have been a Baptist. Amen and amen. Now look on down with me. Let's just read it all and I'll hurry. Verse 7, ask it and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now is this like a whole separate thing, or is Jesus continuing to talk? You know, just because we broke it down into verses don't mean he stopped and said, verse 7, verse 6. All right, he was speaking to the people. And he, after he got done with saying, thou hypocrite, don't give that thing that was holy to the dogs. All right, don't cast your pearls before swine. Then he says, talking about the altar, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Do you know that every one of us, listen, it doesn't matter where you are spiritually, there is a God in heaven that wants you to come home. He wants you to take the next step. That God in heaven is the God that said, all you got to do is ask and I'll help you with the problem that you have in your life. We've got a God who is miraculously fixed. He fixes, listen, we believe that he can fix cancer, that he can take care of everything else, but I believe that same God, just like it was when Lester Roloff preached, that the old drunkard could walk down the aisle and lay down his bottle on the altar and turn around and leave it and never go back, that the old smoker could walk in with his cigars and cigarettes and lay it on the altar and never go back by the power of God. And we have gotten so medicated in the day and age that we live, we think everybody needs a patch. I think they need a pat on the back at the altar and somebody to pray with them and the power of God to fall on their lives and them to walk away and say, I'm going to do it with Jesus' help. Tony Hudson was preaching here when I was in Bible college. He said if God's people would spill out their purses and their pockets, then there'd be enough pills to skate from the back row all the way to the front. And listen, I know we all got ailments. Amen. Thank God for Advil. Amen. I couldn't make it out of bed every day. Amen. Just a little bit, kidding a little bit. But anyway, I mean, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, they medicate everything in the day and age we are. I don't feel right. Amen. If they got a pill that would grow my hair back, though. I mean, amen. I don't know. Anyway, I just, Trying to make it light for you. Look at verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if ask a fish, will give him a serpent? Can I just tell you what God's telling you today? Hey, I know there's a problem. And here's the solution. Why don't you come and talk to me a while? Why don't you ask me to help you? You've already tried every pill that there was. Why don't you come to me and see if I can do something in your life? Hey, there's all kinds of things. You say, I'm not smart enough. Hey, teacher, I can't do this. I can't figure this out. Oh, that mean Brother Bert asked me to take this class, and I can't do it. How about asking God for help and letting him get in your life and the power of God to overwhelm you so that you can do things that are beyond yourself? Hey. Can I just say it tonight? Listen, God is waiting for his people to ask some things that are too hard for the world and too hard for them that he can still do in the life of the believer if you'd simply humble yourself in the sight of God and ask him sincerely to fix it. And probably not from the pew. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how many of you got saved in the pew, but I ran down the aisle because I needed salvation, and I knew the person that had it was down here. When the preacher held me in the back room, I stood up here at the altar and waited to get married, and my wife ran down the aisle to get married to me. It wasn't quite that way, but can I just tell you tonight, listen, all we got to do is ask God. God is so good to us. God has the answer. All we got to do is go to him. And he's such a good father. He tries to relate himself to the earthly father. He tries to show you that, hey, if you just come and ask, even you as a person, as a dad, listen, if your son comes and asks you for something, he say, hey, Dad, I think I'd like to have a sandwich. How many of you pick up a stone and go, not today? No, we don't do that. As Christians, we know better. We treat our kids better than that. So how much better is a perfect God? How much better is it a God that would not withhold his own son but sent him to Calvary to buy back a bunch of sinners like you and me? If he's that good, then he'll help you with listen, if it's a standard issue, he'll help you with that. Amen. Transformed in your mind. It ain't your body that has a problem with the clothes. It's your mind. Hey, it ain't your mind. Listen, Christian, if it's something that's preached from the pulpit, it's because you haven't been transformed in your mind. You've conformed in an area. You've let your mind in an area be conformed to the thoughts of this world. Just get transformed. Say, I don't know how. God does. If you just ask him. Boy, but he boils it all down. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even, look at that, so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Listen, I don't believe any of us work our way to heaven. But I know God, listen, he didn't cast away and throw away all of the law. He left it in here for our admonition. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, if you want to try to really get a handle on what the world, what people are looking for in your life, this is not an easy thing, by the way. You know, when we talk about love your neighbor as yourself, God takes it in this book, here in Matthew, and he boils it down so that you, even the person that's not real sharp can understand that what I would want people to do for me, I ought to do that for them. You know what it's, and I know, listen, I know it's a little bit over, but just, can you hang on with me just 2 minutes here? If someone else, doesn't say if they do it that way to you. It says, whatever you would want for a person to do for you, you do it for them. I mean, we live a worldly mentality If somebody will do it for me, I'll do it for them. Boy, if you know, so-and-so give for me, I'll do good. If they do good to me, I'll do good to them. No. The Bible says just whatever you think that you'd do for you or you'd want them to do, not necessarily what you do for you, but what you would want them, not what you think is overkill. You know what I'm saying? Like if it's raining and they got an umbrella and you were thinking to yourself, I ought to let them use this umbrella. If they had an umbrella, I'd give it to them, you know? And listen, I'm just telling you, there's some little things, some common courtesies that just in a simple day school, if parents and teachers would give each other the way that they would want it to be done to them, we'd be better off. Hey, church member to church member, if we just live the way we'd want other people to be to us, not looking for anything in return, not looking, well, they had an opportunity to do that for me and they didn't do it. Not because of what they did for you, but the way you'd want them to do it. Listen, can I tell you tonight, my mom and daddy taught me this as a little boy. And we've gotten away from it somehow as church people, God's people. This isn't given to the world. This is given to us. This Lord Jesus saying these things. He's saying, if you do this, if you just do this thing, boy, all the laws and the prophets would be covered in this if you just live this one thing. Sometimes we complicate it. Sometimes we can't get to do that because we got things in our eye. We're too busy judging each other to even see what we would want to do for someone else. We're too busy thinking what God ought to do to that person because of who they are. Boy, if I was God, boy, if you ever said that, that's a problem. Amen? Except for when pastor says it. Amen? You know how he says, if I was God, I'd lightning on everybody. That's okay, but you can't say it. Hey, tonight, believers, God's people, boy, as a church, if we just dealt with each other the way that we would want to be treated, our church would be, whew. I mean, I already think when I come here, there ain't no place like this place. I already think that. I believe that this place is the best place. Amen? I drove 18 hours to get back here because I love this place. Can I just say it tonight, church? But we haven't attained. We're not already perfect. We still need, there's some things in our lives we need to be asking for from God. And then maybe we get to the place, but well, when we see somebody else, we go, you know what? If I was in their stop, you know, drive down the back alley, you know, Brother Bob Lee's curriculum, he's done work. Brother Barry's over here, and he sees me struggling with something, can't do it by myself. If he sees me over here, and he said, you know what, if I was Brother Barry, I'd want somebody to stop and help me. And he stops, and next thing I know, there's four hands holding something that two hands were holding before. Hey, can I just tell you, God's people, that's just staff. Well, what about each other? Somebody's out here with dead battery in the parking lot. Hey, I'm just saying, you know, we get to the place, we get problems and things go bad, and the worst case scenario, we'll take the things of the church and things that we think are wrong and go spill it out in front of the world. Look at this. Look at the problems we got down there. You know what? The Bible said that those people, once they get done chewing up and telling you all what's wrong with that's going on down at your church, the Bible says they'll turn around and rend you. Why do you even go there then? If you don't like it, what do you go there for? I mean, that's what they'll do. Hey, God's given us a church. He's given us an awesome place. He's given us an opportunity to walk to the altar and do business with him. Just ask him and he'll help us. Listen, tonight, we want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. Would you stand with me? I know we're a little bit over, but boy, maybe God dealt with your heart. Did something inside of you, and we'll just do a couple stanzas. Say, Brother Parsons, boy, after a message like that, how am I going to walk out the aisle? Well, you step out the end, and you come down front. It's that simple. Piano's going to play. Would you step out and deal with God tonight? Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe you just remember a time when you walked by when you should have stopped and helped somebody. You just want to say, God, help me be more aware of helping my brother.